One of Keith's hymns takes me back all the way to the 70s. And that song takes me way back too, Pam. That's a good song. Good song. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. After hearing Colby wax so eloquently today, I almost dread preaching. I always can preach shorter than him. But then today he quit before 12 o'clock. So it's going to be hard for me to preach shorter than him tonight. I can always please people more because I preach shorter. And now I don't even think I can preach shorter than him. But Colby, thank you for sharing some wonderful, wonderful truth from the Word of God. Oh, how we ought to have a greater burden for those that we find unlovable, or that God would give us love for the unlovely. Amen. And that God would give us a passion to tell people about Jesus. And then God would get us to get up and go in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. I want to read a few verses. In fact, tonight I think I'm just going to, I'm going to read six. And I'm going to refrain from commenting except on the first three, hopefully. Chapter 11, we're going to read the first three verses. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I think the King James Version says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Both translations are excellent translations. And though I usually prefer without any question the New American Standard, when there's a variation, I usually prefer the translation of the New American Standard. But I think when you get down to the bottom line, the word evidence, now faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for. I like assurance there. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and yet the evidence of things not seen. I believe that most deeply clarifies what God is saying to us. Folks, I'm telling you, I believe that the Spirit of God working in our life can give us literal evidence of things not seen. I mean, conviction. Conviction so powerful and so strong and so true based on facts that are real, that we have evidence of the power of God in creation and the ability of God or the power of God of what God's going to do in the future. And I'll hopefully get around to talking about that tonight. But faith is one thing for sure. Faith is more than hope so. Faith is know so. I think faith is more than a feeling that it's going to happen. My friend, genuine biblical faith is assurance, it is confidence, it's conviction, it is evidence of things not seen. And we'll look at that, how it is evidence even. For by faith, the men of old gained approval. The rest of chapter 11 is going to start unfolding for you and I, men of old that gained approval from God. Now, approval, I think, is talking about the pleasing of God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we get to Abel and his sacrifice, and Enoch and his sacrifice, and how they were pleasing to God, you don't find anything, the best I can remember, nothing in the Old Testament that tells us that Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. Now, we know here in the New Testament it says, by faith, Abel did so-and-so. But in the Old Testament, it doesn't talk about Abel doing it by faith. But we know he did it by faith because what? Because it pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I don't think I'll even get close to time to talk about that tonight. But we please God by faith. We operate by faith, by conviction, by assurance, by confidence that God creates in us, and we give God the glory for that. Verse 3 is actually an illustration of what faith is. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, the statement in chapter 3 is an illustration, if you will, of faith. We understand. We have conviction. We have evidence that the things which we see that God created it out of things that were unseen. In other words, God, by the spoken word of God, God created the things that are out of things that were not. And we have the conviction, we have the assurance, we have the evidence of that in our hearts. And I'll just have to wait, because that's not what I really want to talk about tonight. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, I want us to go back to chapter 11, verse 1 for a moment. We see the word now. Now, faith is the assurance. So he starts describing faith, but he begins with the word now. And by beginning the sentence with now, he is pointing us back to something. Okay? He's pointing us back to what he was talking about in verse 32, and particularly verse 34, 32 and forward, but particularly verse 34. And so Paul is beginning to tell you and I about what faith is, because he wants us to live the kind of life that these people in Hebrews chapter 11 lived. The purpose of the book of Hebrews is to bring us to a place that we live a life of faith that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, as these heroes of the faith lived a life of faith. And by living a life of faith, they did these things that Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about. So he's saying to you and I, now faith is the issue. So he's pointing us back. I want us to go back and look at verse 32. I preached on this a couple of weeks ago. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Now, after receiving the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, after receiving Jesus, they endured a great conflict of suffering. And it begins to describe a little bit. He says, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. Now, he uses the word partly to say, you know, when this all stuff started, not all of you were involved. Partly, a lot of you were involved. A lot of you, when you first received your faith in Jesus Christ, many of you, part of you, became a public spectacle. They made a spectacle out of you. Everybody was looking at you with derision and scoffing and laughing. You were a public spectacle to them. What you were doing was ridiculous to them. And so you were mocked and made fun of through reproaches. But that grew into tribulation. And the word tribulation describes just pressing circumstances. I mean, listen, folks, they started having trouble upon trouble that was just squeezing the life out of them. And then he said, partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. All right? So here was the deal. Some of them were suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ, and the rest of them were making it publicly clear, hey brother, we're one with you. We're not hiding the fact that we are also believers with Christ. They were going there and ministering to him and going there caring for him, and they were going there showing the love of Christ and identifying with these people that they were punishing and causing just stressful things happening in their life. And these others begin identifying with them. For it said, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners. And the result was, they begin stealing their property and stealing their things and stealing their jobs. And the Bible says that they joyfully accepted the seizure of their property. They begin sharing in the suffering with these. They begin to go through what they were going through. They begin to share being a public spectacle. They begin sharing the reproaches and the pressing circumstances and the imprisonments and even the death. And the reason it happened to them, because they showed sympathy to those who were going through it. And yet they accepted joyfully the seizure of their property. Why? Knowing that you have, or looking back on it, they did it knowing they had for themselves a better possession and a lasting one. How can we live lives whereby we love each other so much when they are being persecuted, when they are being reproached, when they are losing their jobs for the love of Christ? How can you and I love people so much that we, without any hesitancy, identify with them and we give them what we have and we share with them what we have and we make it known to the people who were ugly to them that we are with them and we're beside them and we're like them? How do you and I get to the place where we cease to become people that are worried about our comfort and our security and our finances and our health and our life? And how do we go from being people that worry about our health and our life and our things and our possessions to becoming people that joyfully will just part with whatever we have to part with to show the love of Christ to them? How do we do that? How does Robin Allen, the sinful, self-centered person that he is, how does he become someone who can joyfully give up whatever he has to give up for the sake of someone else? And the answer he tries to give us in Hebrews chapter 11, and he gives us a lot of illustrations of people in chapter 11 who did just that. They had faith. How do we become the people the book of Hebrews wants us to become? How do we become the people that God wants us to become? And God has been telling us about Jesus all through the book of Hebrews. He's been telling us that Jesus is he's better than the law. He's better than the Old Testament priests, that he gave a better sacrifice than they gave. And Jesus didn't enter into a temple on this earth, but he entered into the temple of heaven, and he presented there before God his own blood as a sacrifice. He had a better sacrifice. So the Bible is going to tell us all these amazing things about Jesus. And then he tells us about what Jesus guarantees to do for us. And these people could know. Faith is not causing something to happen by faith. Faith is not you creating something great for yourself. Faith is knowing that what God said is true and it's going to happen. Faith is knowing. It's not hoping in the sense of you know, I know God's able. It is knowing that God is going to do what God said He's going to do. And God has promised us in His Word a better possession and a lasting one. When you read and you see these people like Abraham, you hear Abraham, he knew God had a better inheritance, a better possession, a better country. And he knew it. He didn't cause it to come because of some mystical experience of faith. He understood it. He had evidence. He could see it. He saw what others couldn't see. How did he see it? By the gift of God. Folks, we're not only saved by faith, that is a gift from God. We live by faith, that is a gift from God. We see what others don't see. Now, I had Miss Kara do something silly for y'all tonight. Did any of y'all take part in her experiment? Did you take how many took part in her experiment? All right, Miss Kara, do you have? Are they still out there? Man, I hate to take my time, but I need to. Just so y'all kind of know what we're talking about, I don't have time for y'all to look and see it. On these pieces of paper, okay? On these pieces of paper, there's something there. And there's something here. And there's something here. And I'm going to tell you, I looked at it. I looked at it up close. I looked at each one of them. I looked at it up close. I looked at it far away. I looked at it with squinty. You know, I tried to see it. I couldn't see it. How many of you saw something on this page? Edgar saw something. Dewey saw something. You saw something? Man, that bothers me. All right. How many of y'all saw something here? Dewey saw something. Edgar saw something. Gary, you saw? You looked at it and you said, all right, Dewey, don't tell him. What'd you see? No. Dewey, what'd you see on that piece of paper? Saturn with rings around. Is that what you saw? Saturn with rings around it? Or did you see Cupid? Or he saw something around it. He saw Saturn with rings around. Do what? Edgar, what kind of medicine do you take before you came in? All right, what did you see here? Do what? A shark. All right, Dewey saw a shark here. Gary, did you see a shark? He thought it was a dolphin. Hey, shark or dolphin, doesn't matter, right? I'm going to tell you, I didn't see it. Does that have anything to do with spiritual faith? No. What it does have something to do is that some people see things that other people don't see. Okay? Now, I'm not saying God gave you a gift that enabled you to see that. I'm not going there. All right? I am telling you, folks. Dewey, if I told you there was no circle there with circles around it, that's not there. You just thought you saw it. What would you tell me? Do I? You saw it. If I told you 10 times, Dewey, there is no Saturn on that picture, what are you going to tell me? You say, ask Gary, right? Gary, if I told you it's not there, what would you tell me? It's there. I said, Gary, that is silly. What are you going to tell me? If I tell you, Gary, everybody in this church didn't see it, what are you going to tell me? You're special. You don't know how theologically sound that is. You are special. You are special. When God gives you the gift of faith to see things that others do not see, folks, do not think you aren't special. You are very, very special. I want us to go to Romans chapter 1 real quick. Romans chapter 1, I want you to turn with me to verse 20, or I want you to look at the screen. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Listen to me. His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Being understood, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. There is an understanding that even unbelievers get. They deny it, they suppress it, they tried to hide it, they don't want to accept it because it interferes with their immoral life. But my friend, God has the ability to give you understanding so that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. Listen, folks. Faith, ultimately, is seeing what can't be seen. It is understanding what is not visible. It is a conviction that it's real. Listen to me. When you and I walk out in the night and we look up into the heavens, and we see the glory of God, and we see the stars that are flung into outer space, and we begin, the more we see, the more you look at our universe, and the more you look at the galaxies, and the more you look at how the galaxies interact with each other, and how the solar systems interact within the galaxies. Sometimes, if you are special to God, God gives you the ability to see God's in it. God did it. It can't happen apart from God. We see the hand of God, the fingerprints of God. We see the activity of God, and we see it and are convinced by it and sure of it. In faith. I want you to look at verse 6. Without faith, without this assurance, without this conviction, without this evidence, without this evidence in our heart, we know, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, what these people that were losing everything, and they were suffering everything, and they were enduring this conflict of suffering, and these people just joined with them willingly, giving them personal things and identifying and visiting them in the prison, knowing when they did that, they too were going to likewise suffer like they suffered, and yet they did it anyhow. What did they have faith in? What did they understand? What did they know? What were they sure of? That they had a better possession and it was going to be eternal. I was visiting with Dr. Emil Turner on the phone one day last week, and in our visiting, we started talking about heaven, which I love to do. And I said, Dr. Turner, I said, no one preaches about heaven. No one teaches about heaven. And I said, even yourself, you've probably lived all of your life and haven't heard 5 sermons dedicated to teaching what the Word of God says about heaven, what you can glean from all of the places in the Bible that alludes to heaven. I said, people just don't talk about heaven, and that is so crippling our lives, because we have such a poor view of what God has really, really, really has for us, and the better possession that we've got, and the better promises that we have, and the better rewards that we have. And because people don't see what God has for us, we live our lives crippled by not seeing what God has for us for eternity. And it keeps us living for what we can get down here. And we're so crippled by it. We don't love like we ought to love. We don't sacrifice like we ought to sacrifice. We live our lives afraid of what may happen to us, or what we may not get, or what we're going to lose. And we spend more time worried about what we're not going to have if we do so-and-so, or what we're not going to get if we do so-and-so, or what we're going to have to do without because we did this. And we live our lives crippled, because we don't understand. We haven't so seen God's glory and God. We haven't so seen him that we have evidence. We look out there into all of the suffering in this world and all of the pain, and what we see when we look out there is we see that if we do this, what it's going to cost us and what we're going to lose by, we don't see what we're going to gain by it. Because we're crippled. Verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, women received back their dead by resurrection. But others, there were others, they were tortured. Listen, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Given the opportunity to pull back on their confession of faith in Christ, given the opportunity not to be so vocal, given the opportunity to not identify with another believer, given the opportunity to be selfish instead of sacrificing, given an opportunity to be quiet instead of sharing, they said, I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to identify with the people of God. Moses, when he's given the opportunity to continue in all of the prosperity and all the glory of being the son of Pharaoh, he said, no, I'd rather identify with those people that are being reproached for for Christ. Because he could see. He could see a better resurrection. He could see glory after this life. And he could see it so clear. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if someone offers me an island on the Mississippi River, and then they promise to build me a 15-bedroom mansion over there, and they promise to give me an airplane to fly over there, and they promise to do everything they can to make it the best hunting place in all the world, and they tell me, if I do that, I've got to quit preaching the gospel. I better be able to see. You better be able to see. When the devil carried Jesus up onto that high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, my friend, he had already seen. Amen. He had already seen. And I'm going to tell you something. I have not seen as much as I'm ready to see and want to see, but I'm going to tell you something. I've seen. I've not had a mystical experience. I've not been caught up into the third heaven. But I've seen. Oh, that God would let me see enough. Oh, that I could see right here that there are better possessions and lasting possessions and a better resurrection and an ultimately this, and we're not going to go there tonight. But I will have God in all of his glory for all eternity. And that is ultimate. People sometimes get super spiritual and they make fun of you if you talk about the things God is going to give you. And the blessings God's going to give you and the rewards God's going to give you. But I'm just telling you, that's God. Not the things, but that's who God is. The God of glory and the God of might is a God who rewards. The God of glory and the God of might is the God that makes all the suffering that you've ever went through in all of your life counted as something when you put it on the scales. That it's not even going to be worthy to be compared to the glory that God's going to give you in heaven. And not only are we going to have what he gives us, but we're going to have him. And if we could just see it, we quit looking at what's in it for me in this world. And realize what's in it for us in the next world. We'd quit looking at things of what it's going to cost us. And we would see what we're going to gain. So when we get over here and we find these women and others who were tortured and wouldn't pass it up. Tortured and say, you can walk out that door if you want to. Just don't take this thing so seriously. And they said, no way. No way. There's no way I'll give up the glory God has for me for not suffering. God, give us faith. Amen? And may God increase our faith to understand, to be assured, to have evidence. I'm just telling you that those people that went through what they went through, they didn't go through it on a hunch. They didn't go through it with a hope. It was so real to them, they could taste it and feel it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Has the Spirit of God made God so real, you can taste Him? When that happens, you can suffer for the sake of loving others. May God give us a taste. Let's pray. Father, in a world that keeps us looking out for ourselves, may you give us faith. In a world that says you've got to watch out for yourself, God, let us see for every suffering, there's an incomparable weight of glory that waits for us. Oh God, that we might see and taste. And so see it that it is as convincible as our little illustration was. I don't care what the devil says or the world says or anybody else says. I know it's real. God, it's your work in my heart that makes it real. May we find faith in the revelation of God for your glory. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen.